Every Christian should endeavour to be familiar with the book of Hebrews. It's maybe a neglected book because there's quite a lot of doctrine, quite a lot of theology in the book of Hebrews. And for that reason, the modern Christian seems to shy away from it. But it's a wonderful, wonderful book. And one of the main themes in the book of Hebrews is that of the person and work of Jesus Christ our Lord as he fulfills the role of our great High Priest. Now, the High Priest in the Old Testament economy, the Jewish High Priest, had many roles to perform, and two of the most fundamental roles that he had to fulfill was, firstly, the offering of sacrifice on the brazen altar to cover or to atone for the sins of the people of Israel. And then, having done that, he would have entered within the veil of the tabernacle, then the temple, and gone into the holy place and made intercession for the people. He would have done that especially on the Day of Atonement. So those two things, as far as the high priest was concerned, were critical and fundamental. Offering of sacrifice to cover sin, and then entering in within the veil to represent the people before God and to pray and to intercede for them. And Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He's the first and the last. And he has offered one sacrifice for sins forever upon the cross at Calvary. And the book of Hebrews makes that very clear. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down. And the book of Hebrews makes it very, very clear that the sacrifice that the Savior offered, offering up his life as an atoning sacrifice to his Father in heaven for the sins of his people, and in doing so, shedding his precious blood, he has made a full, a final, and a sufficient sacrifice to cover sin. So Calvary covers it all. My guilt question, my sin question, is settled at the cross, where the sinless, spotless Son of God offered up his life for me. And then, having done that, the Bible says that the high priest went within the veil and prayed for his people. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done for us and is doing for his people. Hebrews 7:25 says, "Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." And that's a remarkable thing, that not only has the Son of God loved us and gave himself for us, but he prays and he intercedes for us at the Father's right hand. Robert Murray McShane said, "If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I wouldn't fear 1,000 enemies. But distance doesn't matter. He prays for me still. And in glory we have a Saviour who intercedes for us." Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15 says, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." In fact, verse 14 of Hebrews 4 says, "We have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus Christ, the Son of God." These are wonderful truths. They're very hard for us with our finite minds to really understand and to really comprehend. But friends, not all that long ago, I was visiting a couple of good friends that love the Lord, and they gave me this wall hanging. It's entitled "The Man in the Glory." I'm not sure who the author is. There's just a couple of initials at the bottom, GC. Some of you might know who that is. If you do, you can put a little comment below. But it's a lovely poem. I just want to read it for you. "The Man in the Glory." And that's exactly what Jesus Christ is. He's the God-man. Two natures in one person forever. God and man. And he's in the glory. And he represents his people. "I wake in the morning with thoughts of his love, who is living for me in the glory above. Every minute expecting he'll call me away, and that keeps me bright all the rest of the day. But the moments speed forward and on comes the noon, and still I'm singing he'll come very soon. And thus I'm watching for morning till night, and pluming my wings to be ready for flight. There's a man in the glory I know very well. I've known him for years and his goodness can tell. One day, in his mercy, he knocked at my door and, seeking admission, knocked many times o'er. But when I went to him and stood face to face and listened a while to his story of grace, how he suffered for sinners and put away sin, I heartily, thankfully welcomed him in. And we have lived together a number of years. And that's why I neither have doubting nor fears. For my sins are all hid in the depths of the sea. They were carried down there by the man on the tree. I am often surprised with the lip should be why the lip should be curled when I speak of my Lord to the man of the world. And notice with sorrow his look of disdain when I tell him that Jesus is coming again. He seems so content with his houses and gold, while despising the ark like the people of old. And yet at his coming I'm sure he would flee, like the man in the garden who ate off the tree. I cannot but think it is foolish of souls to put all their money in bags which have holes, to find in the day that is coming apace how lightly they valued the riches of grace. As fond as I am of his work in the field, I would let go the plough, I would lay down the shield. The weapons of service I'd put on the shelf, and the sword in its scabbard to be with himself. But I'll work on with pleasure while keeping my eyes on the end of the field where standeth the prize. I would work for his glory, that when we shall meet, I may have a large sheaf to lay down at his feet, that he too with pleasure his fruit may review. Is the man in the glory a stranger to you? A stranger to Jesus? What, do you not know? He is washing poor sinners much whiter than snow. Have you lived in a land where the Bible's unknown, that you don't know the man who is now on the throne? Ah, did you but know half his beauty and power, you would not be a stranger another half hour. I have known him so long that I'm able to say the very worst sinner he'll not turn away. The question of sin I adoringly see, the man in the glory has settled for me. And as to my footsteps, whatever the scene, the man in the glory is keeping me clean. And therefore I'm singing from morning till night, the man in the glory is all my delight. What a wonderful hymn, what a wonderful poem, what a wonderful, wonderful Saviour, the man in the glory. I wonder today, do you know him? God bless you, and we'll see you again next time.